Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things. But Mary has chosen the better part, and it shall not be taken from her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate the memorial to Saint Colette, the reformer of the Poor Clares in the 15th century. She was truly raised up by God, very almost miraculously in a way, to reform the Poor Clares at this time. Her life is very unusual. Her parents were very aged. Her mother was 60 years of age when she had Colette. And during her life, Colette was very small. At 14 years of age, her father was very worried, and she asked the Lord to help her to grow. So in a matter of a few days almost, or whatever, she grew several inches. She was also very beautiful, and she thought that this was a hindrance to her perfection, also a distraction to the many suitors who were attracted to her. So she asked for her beauty to be taken away. She was given very severe features, and she, while she was not exactly homely or anything, she had great presence. People admired her for her looks and so forth. She's a determined woman. So Saint Colette, when her mother and father died, she gave up her inheritance, entered the Third Order, and became an anchoress in the parish church of Corbie. Now, Corbie was a very famous town in France. It was famous for a Benedictine monastery that had hundreds of members. In fact, they used to chant the office in three times each day and divide the monks into various choirs, so that the office could be said 24 hours a day, around the clock. They wanted to give the divine praises to God. This was important because Saint Colette was influenced by this. When she made her reform, she made the divine office part of her reform, the chanting of the divine office. After her giving the money away to the poor, she became an anchoress in the local parish, where she was walled in with no doors, just a window upon the Blessed Sacrament, which she could gaze upon the Blessed Sacrament and pray during the day. She thought she would spend her life as a recluse here, but God had other plans. After a few years, she heard a voice calling her to reform the Franciscan Poor Clares. She thought it was a temptation from the devil. But when she was struck dumb and then blind, she realized that it was not, and she was determined, and she said, as St. Paul did, "Lord, what will thou have me do?" As soon as she said that, she was able to speak and she was able to see. She was given approbation by the Pope to reform the Franciscans. At first, many of the sisters thought that she was a little strange, maybe even possessed, and some of them didn't want to have anything to do with the reform. But eventually, Saint Colette, because of her joyful disposition and her kindness, won them all over. Eventually, she founded 17 convents, reformed many others, including some of the friars, Franciscan friars. Interestingly enough, during her lifetime, this was the same time as Joan of Arc, and people always wonder if, during the time they were both in one of the towns, whether the two great saints of this time had met. We don't know. We do know, of course, that they've met in heaven, so that's good enough for me, if you ask me. But it would be nice to see what transpired if they had met at all. But Saint Colette was a great saint, a saint to reform the order of Poor Clares when they became a little bit away from the primitive rule. She reformed them to the primitive observance, very strict poverty, chastity, of course, and obedience, and this, of course, is the glory of God. St. Francis appeared to her, too, at one time, and encouraged her and helped her in the reform. She was also helped in the reform by being given the gift of miracles. She raised several people to the dead, from the dead, and was revered, of course, at her time as a great saint. Raised up by God, as we see in today's gospel, one of his chosen ones, because she had given herself entirely to prayer and her dedication in her life. This is important, as we see in today's gospel. You can be very busy about many things, as Martha, and that's good, apostolic work and so forth and so on, but the better part is what the contemplative orders do, living in enclosed monasteries, not going out, and living their life entirely for God in prayer, fasting, and penance, and praying, of course, divine office, especially with, as St. Clare with her reform. So this is the better part. Mary has chosen the better part. St. Colette has chosen the better part, and the thousands upon thousands of virgins who have entered her, the Poor Clares, the Poor Clare Collentines, have chosen the better part. And of course, their prayer goes up night and day, year in and year out, and it's, of course, a great leaven, a yeast for our society, that the society in which we live, which we see in such terrible crisis now, where would it be without the prayers of many contemplatives? Where would our society be without the Mass each day? Long ago, probably we would have been punished for, like the world was punished during the deluge and Sodom and Gomorrah and so many other places. So we need the prayers of these people, these great people who are saints, as it were, many, and today contemplatives who have given their lives completely enclosed behind the convent walls and so forth to pray to the Lord. So this is important for our time, as Our Lady said at Fatima, to pray and sacrifice, for many souls are going to hell. In fact, one time St. Colette saw a vision of hell, and it's hard to believe, I still can't believe it, but souls were falling into hell like snowflakes during the winter. I know when we look out at the snowflakes going down, how can you ever count all those flakes of snow? And yet she said she saw them. Souls were falling into hell like snowflakes. Almost hard to believe. But we do know many souls, as Our Lady says, are going to hell for all eternity. So even today, people are falling into hell at this very moment. God forbid, as it were. So we also must, while we can, do all we can to remember that the salvation of souls is the highest law. What's more important than souls? Give souls to Almighty God. And this is why St. Clare, of course, and those who were part of her reform, wanted to give themselves to God, not only for their own salvation, of course, but also for the souls of so many others who would have been lost if they had not sacrificed their lives. So we can do some sacrificing, some prayer, and also we can sacrifice our time for the apostolate to bring people into the Catholic Church, the only source of salvation. Where else are they going to get their sins forgiven? Where else are they going to get the graces through the sacraments of the Eucharist and the Holy Mass? Where else? So we need to pray for our times, and let us imitate the prayer of Mary. Mary has chosen the better part. Treasure those moments in which we can pray to the Lord at his feet, adoring and honoring him for his goodness and love. May the Lord bless you.